Well, the first part isn't for sure now. But if he would have taken the equipment that was offered to him that was not his, that God did not call him to put on, that God himself did not provide for him, he would have been an easy target for that giant. But we would say, it's reasonable that he would put on the armor. It's reasonable that he would cover his vital parts where it would not be easy for someone to kill him. It's reasonable. And so often, we want to do what is reasonable according to the earth instead of listening to the voice of God. I would say to you that God is ready to do something that's outside the reason of the world. That's where God functions. That's where God works. And he's looking for a people who will say, God, we trust you, first of all. And not only do we trust you, but we trust you to equip us with everything that you want us to have in order for us to be used of you, that you might accomplish your work through us. Be very careful, guys. Be very careful. You're not meant to be anybody else outside this church. And let me just say this, you're not meant to be anybody else inside this church. You are specifically gifted, equipped, if you want to say it. I'll use the word gifted. You are specifically gifted by God to be the part of the body that he's called you to be in this fellowship. And this church is specifically gifted by God to be a part of the body as a whole that he's called this church to be. Don't waste your effort. Don't waste your energy. I would even say don't even waste your prayer time. I don't think that's something we ought to be praying about, that I want to be like somebody else. Right. And the only guy I really ever wanted to be like was like Mike. When it comes to, some of you don't even know who that's reference to, do you? When it comes to basketball. Okay? But if you think about that, and I see this, and sometimes in our immaturity, we look for someone to emulate. And I had friends I had one friend that his first sermon, he was told he sounded like a young Billy Graham. He could not function in the next several sermons. He could not function. Till finally someone, wasn't me, I was his age, so I didn't give him the advice. Someone comes and said, you don't need to be the next Billy Graham. You need to be who God's called you to be. You need to trust God to be who he needs to be in your life. We need to trust God with what he's equipped us with. Even if everybody around us says, it's not enough. It's not enough. God has this his own heavenly... economy. That's the word I'm looking for. He has his own heavenly economy. And he demonstrates it all throughout the scripture. He demonstrates it here. You remember the feeding of the 5,000? Who can feed 5,000 with a couple of fish and a few loaves of bread? Is that even possible? Is that even reasonable? Of course not. But look at what God did with what was there. And God has always been that kind of God. Because it's not about us being glorified in what we're doing for God. It's about God being glorified in what he does through his body. Paul put it this way, in a very personal way. He says, in our weaknesses, his strength is made manifest. In what I cannot do, that's where God's glory is revealed. That's where his strength shows through. He reveals himself in those instances. Pride, self-sufficiency, always stands in the way of God's glory being revealed through the life of a child of God. Pride is the initial sin as far as I'm concerned. It is probably the most, personally, most devastating sin for any child of God, because it puts us in the driver's seat. It draws the attention to us. We desire the accolades. We desire people to see how much we're doing, how much we're accomplishing. It is God who will receive the glory. It is God who should receive the glory. It is God who said, I will not share my glory with anybody. Mm-hmm. So it may be that God may put, from an earthly perspective, restraints on us in a matter of, you know, if we just had a couple $1,000,000, what we could do in this community, or if we just had, you know, a few more people who were skilled or talented in some areas, how we could touch this whole community. If we, you know, some churches have this idea, if we just had someone who was a great personality join our church, and that would certainly draw people in. We have all these ideas, and what we need to do is trust God who has called us to a wonderful task, a task where He will reveal Himself, and a task where He has completely equipped us for everything He's called us to. From a worldly perspective, David went into that battle unprepared and poorly equipped. From an eternal perspective, he was completely prepared and totally equipped as he went into that battle. I like David's attitude. Earlier, here's what he says when he hears about this Goliath guy. I don't even know if he saw Goliath before this time. But I love his trust in God. And he's straightforward. You remember reading it? He says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would dare speak out against the armies of the living God?" Wow. Wow. You and I step into the world and the giants that are before us and our primary enemy. And we need to step in the world that way. Because we've been called of God and we've been equipped by God. And he's already won the victory. Paul reminds us in the book of Colossians, one of my favorite books, he says that he has disarmed him. He has disarmed him. We are walking as the army of God, and the victory is already ours. And the only way that we can mess up the victory and lose battles along the victory is going to happen. But we can lose battles along the way when we cease to trust God and when we try to be other than what God has called us to be. That makes sense to you? I think that's a great lesson that we learn here in this young man, David, who's willing to stand up because he trusted God and he trusted God to give him everything he needed before he went. Notice what David did. Did David not declare victory before he even entered the battle? Why? How could someone do that? I mean, is that bravado? I doubt it. He was walking in faith. And he knew God would be glorified. So, as we face the giants, or deal with the giants in our life, when they show up in our life, we need to trust God with what He has equipped us with. You know, there's that old cliche, God plus one is a majority. Just God. And when He lives through you and I, the victory is already ours. The second thing I want to draw your attention to in this passage, look at verse 43 and 44. We have the response of the Philistine. And here's what he said. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." The second thing is you and I face the giants in our life. We need to be careful what voices or what voice we listen to. We ought not to listen to what those who have no spiritual eyes have to say. How can they give you any spiritual insight, advice, or guidance if they're spiritually blind? We need to be very careful who we listen to. You know the Holy Spirit is speaking into your heart because He lives within you. But you also know that you have an enemy that's speaking at the same time. And if we do not walk in biblical discernment and submission to the Holy Spirit, we will have a tendency to try to listen to both voices at the same time. You've seen the little cartoon with the little devil on one shoulder and the little angel on the other shoulder. That devil should not even be on your shoulder. You should not even be giving him an audience. You've got to be careful who you listen to. Now, if David listened to Goliath, this spiritually dead, uncircumcised Philistine, then what would David do? He would begin to tremble. He'd be filled with fear. He would maybe even try to find a way out. But he didn't. So be very careful when you and I walk in the way that God has called us to walk, that the unsaved world out there, those who are not a part of the body, those who don't know the Lord, speak things, and we got to be careful not to listen to them. It's unreasonable for that church. And you need to understand, as the church walks in Christ and Christ works among us and He leads us in certain things, there are going to be some things in this community that the world outside the church will not appreciate. There'll be stands that we'll have to take. There'll be decisions that we'll have to make because we have to follow God. And they will speak things. And you will feel like you have to defend. I would encourage you, don't fall into that trap. You don't have to defend anything that God's doing. You don't have to defend his church. He'll do that. You and I just need to walk as his church. But know that the lost around us will be speaking. And they'll be trying to give advice. And they'll try to speak things that would cause fear to come into us, doubt to come into us, that, oh, y'all didn't really hear from God because God's a God of love. He wouldn't say that kind of thing. All these kind of things start coming into our mind. It's an amazing thing how people who do not know God and who don't even want to know God want to tell the church, who are the children of God, what our God is like. Okay? So don't listen to those outside. But there's something else in this scenario that caught my eye as I was preparing this. And I want you to go back over to verse 28. Now, I didn't read this earlier, but it ties in with what I'm saying right now. Not only do we need to be very careful what voices from the outside we're listening to, now I'm going to bring you home. Because if God has called us, we also need to be very careful what voices from the inside we're listening to. Look, David comes on this scene. David is willing to take the stand. He's willing to go and he's willing to fight against this Philistine. And in verse 28, look at what it says here. It says, now Eliab, his oldest brother, that's David's oldest brother, that's the oldest son of Jesse, says this, heard what he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, why do you come down here, and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come to see the battle. So what is his brother trying to speak into his heart, into his ear? You have no business here. You have no business doing what you're doing. You have no business saying what you're saying. You're just filled with pride. You're filled with self. Sometimes the harshest criticism you will ever get for walking with the Lord, for being submitted to the Spirit, is other professing Christians who will say, oh, they're just trying to be a holy roller. They just think that they're closer to God than everybody else. They think they're all that in the church. You don't think that happens? It happens all the time. Be very careful. Be very careful that you don't listen to those voices. Now, I want you to hear what I'm saying. If you or I are not walking as we should walk, if we're not submitted as we should walk, I believe God will bring brothers and sisters into our life to speak to us. So we've got to be very careful that it's not because of pride we do what we do. It's not because of self that we're in service. But it really is because we feel like it's what God has for us. But do not be surprised when professing Christians will be your harshest critics and will stand against you. And will speak against you and try to give you counsel that is not godly counsel. I usually tell people who are seeking counsel, particularly when it comes to couples who are coming in for counsel and come for premarital counseling and stuff, is when you have issues, did you all know that couples have issues? I just want to make sure we're all on the same day. When you have issues and when you really need help or counsel, you need to seek, first of all, someone who can give you counsel who has nothing to gain by the counsel that they give you. They gain nothing by what they're going to speak to you. Which means, which is unfortunate for a lot of young married couples, because the first people they have a tendency to run to when something doesn't go right is mom or dad. And I say, don't do that. Don't drag mom or dad into that. You need to find somebody other than mom or dad. Because here's how it happens. And it always happens this way. Well, the young couple gets upset at each other. They get in a fight. And so someone goes running home to mom. And I'm not going to say the women only do that. Men do it too sometimes. And they drag mom into the situation. A couple days later, the young couple get back together. And they smooth things over. They're all happy and stuff. And then there's poor mom sitting out there, still steaming at what this mean, ugly brute did to her daughter. Be careful. Walk with discernment. Not only outside the body, but within the body. Now that doesn't mean you walk with suspicion. Those are not the same words. But time proves, I think, in our life, those people that we can receive counsel from. Those people who speak godly things. And some of those people are those people who will speak things in our life that we may not initially want to hear, but that we need to hear. Now, I draw this to you because again, primarily the one we need to be listening to is the Holy Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. each and every one of us. But there are times in our life, in our struggle, in our walk, where we have difficulty with that. And I do believe that's part of why God gave us the body, where the body can come along, strengthen, encourage, and direct us back to that place. And that's why I think all good counsel eventually does. It directs us back to where we can once again hear what the Spirit of God has to say in our situation. Because again, we all can get into spiritual condition where we just don't feel like we're hearing from the Spirit of God. So God has given us the body. So I think one of the indicators of good counsel, are they steering you back to the Lord? Are they steering you back to the truth? Are they patient with you and maybe sitting with you and walking with you and praying with you and crying with you as you're seeking the Lord? That becomes an issue. But again, we need to be careful. As God has called us to something, as God has equipped us for what He has called us to, that the voice as we go into the something, the voice that we hear primarily is the voice of the one who sent us. Because He knows what's going to happen. He knows what He's doing. Uh-huh. One of the exercises that we did as the group that got together and began praying about seeking the Lord for the church, it began with that model. Go to the Lord. What's the Lord saying? God bless you. What's the Lord speaking? The desire of Chip, as he led us, was that in the exercise, the program, it was hear from God and then share what God has spoken into your life. It wasn't the issue of 26 people getting together and everybody say, "Well, what do you think we ought to be doing? What do you think it would be best for the church? What do you think? What do you think? What do you think?" We don't need to know what everybody thinks.
Right.
Because the church is not a democracy. Sorry to tell you that. There's one head to the church, and He knows what He's doing.
Amen.
And a part of our prayer walk is to seek Him. Lord, what do you want? This is your church. What do you want? What do you desire? So as He sends us, as He equips us, He's not just sending us off and saying, do the best you can. We've got to continue to hear from Him. Have you noticed this about your faith walk yet? That many times, most of the time, 99%, I may get close to 100% of the time, when it comes to this faith walk, God rarely ever shows you the end from the beginning.
Yeah, that's right.
And even if He were to show us the end, like I think David was standing in the Lord here, okay, and he knew what the end would be, very rarely does He show us every step of the way that we get to the end.
That's right.
Because He doesn't want us just to trust in the walk itself. He wants us to trust in Him in every step of the walk. So it's not enough just to get your commission. It's not even enough just to get your equipment. But we need Him to speak into our lives as we're going through whatever He's called us to go through. As we're facing those giants. Now, I want to say this and then I'll move on. We've all faced giants in our life, either individually, as couples. Churches have faced giants. Do not, in the future facing of giants, which I guarantee you're going to have, do not rely on what God did or how God did what He did in your former facing of the giants. Does that make sense to anybody? Let me put it in a modern day vernacular. We've never done it that way before. Okay? You know what that's saying? It says, the way we've done it before is the best way to do it. And if we just do it, if we just follow the methodology that we've done before, then we will have a good result. It's interesting that many of our churches are dying doing what they've done, what they've always done. Yet they have a difficulty seeing that the insanity of continuing to do the same thing you do and expecting to get different results. I'm one who's convinced that God is not that concerned with methodology. I really believe that. I don't think He's that concerned with methodology. I think He's more concerned in a people who have ears for Him and to trust Him. But we have this tendency, that's our human tendency, is to trust in the method rather than to trust in the Lord. So as God has equipped us, as God has called us, we need to continue to hear the right voice. I'll never leave you or forsake you is what he says. Isn't that a wonderful promise? I'll never leave you or forsake you. Seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with your whole heart. The Holy Spirit indwells us. You are the temple of the living God in whom the Holy Spirit dwells. And he is speaking. Jesus said, he will be your helper. He will be your teacher. He will be the one who takes what is mine and gives it to you. He will always glorify me. See, as we're listening to the Holy Spirit, as we're surrendering to the Holy Spirit, that voice of God within us, we can never go wrong. So, as we deal with the giants of our life, trust God to equip us as he's called us to the battle. Be careful that we do not listen to the, first of all, to the voices of the spiritually dead. That's an incredible thing. Oh, one more thing I got to throw out. I said I was moving on, but you didn't believe it, did you? I gave you an irritation this morning. Can I give you one tonight? It irritates me, the thought that the church thinks it has to look at Madison Avenue and how to be the church. The other thing that irritates me is churches who do surveys to find out what the lost world thinks the church ought to be offering. I don't mind doing surveys to find out where people are. I really don't. I don't have any problem with that. To find out where the people in our community are, that would be a wonderful thing. But to ask them what they need the church to do, how the church ought to look, how the church ought to function, what the message of the church ought to be, why would we ever do something like that? Yet it happens all the time. It happens all the time. We need to trust God, and he needs to be the voice we listen to, not the outside world. And then be careful of those within the body who have an agenda. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. The last thing that I want to share with you before we leave this evening is in verse 45 through 47. And here we have David's response. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camps of the Philistine to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. To know that there is a God is what it means to be glorified. God be glorified, okay? Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword of the spear, but the battle is the Lord, and he will give you into our hand. David knew something. He knew that as he was facing his giant, God would be glorified. We need to know that. We need to know that as we face the giants of our lives, whatever they will be, God will be glorified. Is that enough for us? I just wonder about how unsatisfied we are about our... Is that enough for us to know that God's name is going to be glorified? Could the scenario have been different? I mean, it's one of those moot points that we... But could it have been? Could David have died on the battlefield that day and God still be glorified?
Sure.
Yes. Would that have been enough for David? Well, every evidence that I see here of David's heart before God, is it would have been enough. We assume that God is only glorified with our prosperity, with our health. We assume that God is only glorified as long as everything's going good in our life. That's an assumption that we make to our own peril. Because that assumptions, or those kind of assumptions, I want to tell you, always lead to us judging God. Somehow God hasn't measured up. Somehow God hasn't heard my prayer. Somehow God hasn't revealed himself in my life. God reveals himself. God glorifies himself. God will be God at the end of every situation. Do you realize there are a lot of people who have come before us? You realize that, don't you? Okay? But how important do you think we are? I think the church today thinks it's real important. And many of the individuals in the church thinks it's real important. We have, rather than preaching the gospel in many churches, we have the concern for people's self-esteem. When God tells us that we ought not to esteem ourselves more highly than others. That love, biblical love, is not esteeming oneself, but the willingness to give up our life for a brother. We have preachers that are preaching self-actualization. So you will actually know what you are actually like. Well, actually, I don't think that's a good thing. You see how much we do in the church that is actually, there's actually again, self-centered. Man-centered. The world doesn't need a church that's actualized. The world needs a church that glorifies God. If they forget that any of us have ever existed, if time moves on and they forget that there was a First Baptist church, but they know God and they know the message of Christ, that's what it's all about. David knew that. David knew that what it was about was that God's name was going to be glorified that day. And he proclaimed it loudly. No doubt in his mind, God is going to be glorified. You will know when this whole thing is done that there's a God in Israel. He will show you who He is. When you face the giants in your life, is that how you face them? Or do we face them almost defeated before the battle ever begins, wondering if we're going to make it through? You see, the thought of this, I wonder if I'm going to make it through, again, puts all the attention on me. Why don't we change that around and say, I just wonder, I just want to see, I just hope, I just know that in this situation I'm about to go through, the giants that I'm about to face, God's going to be glorified. Praise God.
Amen.
And because I'm in Christ, if we really believe what we believe about being in Christ, then we don't need to spend one moment worrying about ourselves. Our concern is about that His name is glorified, that He is known, that we understand that the battle belongs to the Lord. And I close you with that thought. The battle belongs to the Lord. No way humanly possible for David to defeat Goliath. No way. You might say it's a million to one shot. You say, Pastor, you believe all that happened there was divinely guided? I certainly do. I believe that rock was a missile. And it was on a path. And I do believe David was skilled. There's no doubt in my mind David was skilled. But, when God... We don't have the technology of that right there. Okay? It's an amazing thing when God is at work among His people. The giants will be there, folks. Goliath showed up that day. Goliath showed up that day. Tomorrow, this week, the giants are going to show up. They're going to be there. But you know what we need to stand in? Not in fear of the giants who will show up in our life, but in the knowledge that anywhere we are, God shows up too. And there is no giant, no matter what that giant might be, spiritual, emotional, physical, there is no giant that God cannot and does not have the victory over, and that His name will not be glorified through. We're going to face giants. The question is not whether or not we're going to face them. The question is, how will we face the giants when they show up? I think David has given us a good outline here, or God has given us a good outline through this wonderful story where God's name was glorified. And here we are, what? 4,000 years later? No, 3,000 years later? 3,000 years later, still talking about it. Still in awe of how God used this young man. It ought to be in our heart that we desire for Fountain Hill not to be impressed with First Baptist Church. Not to be impressed with the ministries here, the personalities here, the buildings we have, the land we have. It ought to be our heart's cry that this community would be in awe of God.
Amen.
Would be in awe of God. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank You for how awesome You are. I thank You for the fact that You are at work all around us, glorifying yourself. And Father, as you called David, you have called us. And as you equipped David, you have equipped us. You have gifted us. You have called us. You have supplied us with every need that we have. Father, help us not to seek the things of this world or even the things within the body of Christ that you have not given us. But help us to seek you. And Father, give us ears that we might hear what you have to say. Let us be sensitive to your Holy Spirit moment by moment, every day, so that as we've answered the call to the task you have placed before us and trusted you to equip us, Father, we would not take one step, we would not make one decision, lest we know it would come from your Holy Spirit. And Father, do give us a deafness to what those around us that have no spiritual insight, no spiritual life have to say. And even within the body, Father, when Christians would step forward and speak in the flesh and speak things that are self-serving, Father, close our ears to that also. Give us sensitivity to your Spirit. And finally, Lord, help us. Help it to be so that the utmost desire of our heart is that your name be exalted, that you be glorified in everything that takes place in this church and through this church in the community that you put us in. May we always be careful to praise you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.